Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety FAC Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz at the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAC stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. Hi, folks. Today's question is my child really anxious, or are they just manipulating me? This is one of the questions I actually ask in my parenting pitfalls quiz, which you can find at my site, childanxietysupport.com. Just look up in the top menu and you'll see the link to the quiz there. Because actually, hearing that a child is being, quote, manipulative is one way I assess for patterns of anxiety in a family. That's if people are telling you that your child is manipulating you, or if you are wondering if they're manipulating you. So it's great that we get to talk about that this week. First of all, when people use the word manipulative to talk about a child's behavior, what I know for certain is that the family is struggling. Manipulative is another word for doing things to get what we want, but it's a negative word. It carries a touch of dishonesty. But we all do things to get what we want. We may be extra nice to our boss, even if we're annoyed by them, because we want to get a raise. Or we might pretend to like a book that we actually disliked so that other people we're talking to will think we're smart. According to Kohlberg's moral development, children tend to behave very selfishly until around the age of 7. Up until then, they are super reward-oriented. They behave in ways that serve them rather than because it's the right thing to do. They look out for their own self-interest rather than ways to serve others. Now, I know you're going to give me examples of your child's selflessness at younger than 7, and it's not that they don't do lovely things like give a toy to their sibling or bring you flowers or give up the last cookie because their friend is crying. It's that they do those things because they want to do them. They want the results of them. They want your praise. They want your approval. They want their friend to play with them instead of crying. This, again, is developmentally appropriate. We help them learn our moral code with the praise and approval we give them and explaining why we do things. But until 7, they're doing things purely for what it gets them. I'll tell a story about my daughter here with her permission to illustrate this. When she was about 5, she figured out that if I said no to something like a popsicle just before dinner, she could get a popsicle by going to her dad and just looking very sad and maybe kind of moping around and saying, gee, I sure wish I could have a popsicle. Popsicle would sure be tasty right now. And he'd always say, well, go have one then. The part she wouldn't tell him is that she'd already asked me and I'd said no. Of course she was manipulating him because she wasn't telling him the whole truth. And that's typical of the age. She didn't know that lying by omission was even a thing. She felt like she was being successful because she was getting a popsicle. We had to explain it to her. Really, if anything, she was showing some good problem-solving skills. From 8 to 13, The kid's moral code is still about meeting rules because they are rules and getting praise. Kids really want approval, but they are growing into the idea that morality can be more personal and that the greater good may sometimes outweigh the individual good. In other words, so mom doesn't get mad at dad for giving the kid a popsicle just before dinner, maybe I don't try to get a popsicle. But heck, we adults struggle with this. So of course we can expect children to still be learning and exploring what it means to behave in a moral manner. Now I want you to think about this in the context of manipulation. Manipulation, as in manipulating people to get your own way, isn't a moral issue for kids the way it is for us. A child who is anxious and who is avoiding through fight or flight or freeze is definitely trying to get their own way. They're definitely trying to get you to give in to what they want. If they don't want to do this scary thing like sleep alone or speak up in class or go to the baseball game, then they may melt down, they may cry, they may threaten to hurt themselves, they may punch someone or punch a wall, and then parents often give in. Is the child being manipulative, or is the child really that scared? Are they in danger, or are they just pretending to be to get their own way? My take is, it kind of doesn't matter. We need to take threats seriously, always, especially when there is threat of harm. They might be exaggerating their threats, but exaggerated threats have resulted in real harm when we don't take them seriously. They are trying to get us to hear them, and yes, they may be blowing their fears up so that we will. Now, this doesn't mean that we help them avoid. It may mean we need to start smaller in addressing their anxiety because the big stuff is clearly too big at the moment. Or it may mean that we need to create a plan that keeps kids and other people and things safe even as we continue to challenge their avoidance. Which might be, for example, if a child breaks things when you ask them to sleep alone and put them in their room, then you might remove things that you don't want to get broken. You might make a plan to keep things safe and to keep the child safe and to keep other people safe, even as we help them to learn to tolerate their discomfort. Kids who have been acting out in big ways, we can expect to continue to act out in big ways, but we can create a plan for that and help them learn how to tolerate their discomfort so that they no longer need to act up in big ways. I will add that when a child blows up their fears so we take it seriously, they are also blowing those fears up for themselves. So I don't know how many of you read Anne of Green Gables, but there's a chapter where she's imagined a haunted forest, and she's done such a good job of imagining it that she has become truly terrified to walk through the woods. Her imagination has run away with her. Our anxious kids do this too. And sometimes that so-called manipulative behavior is raising things to another level, not just for us, but for them. If they seem out of control, they are thinking of themselves as out of control. And if they are upsetting you, remember, kids really want approval, they are upsetting themselves too. So I guess what I'm saying is that the question isn't helpful because a child can be both anxious and manipulative, and being manipulative doesn't mean that your child's struggle isn't real, but it also doesn't mean that you just need to give in and do whatever you can to keep your child from melting down. When things get to this level of crisis, it's time to get help. This is just such a difficult place to be as a parent and as the child or teen whose behaviors have become so damaging. And if you feel stuck in this, or your child or your teen feels stuck in this, then it is definitely time to reach out and get some help. By the way, if you're curious where your family falls in the pitfall quiz, the pitfall quiz is about those family patterns that keep us stuck in child or teen anxiety. Anyway, I'd love for you to come by the site and take the quiz. Again, it's up at the top in the menu. If you have any questions about your results, let me know. And you'll also have the opportunity to sign up for the free Get Yourself Grounded email course when you complete the quiz. But you don't have to fill anything out, like your name or email, just to take it or get your results. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.